The sun went down, and the little boy still hadn't made it home. To his house and ran up the stairs with his shirt blooded and scars all on his back. And I heard him say, "Father, yeah, I tried to get here like you told me to come. I tried to get here before sundown. Yes, I did.
Listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
He's been good to me. yeah.
He's been good. More than this world could ever be. He's been good to me. All those tears.
Father, we thank you now for what our ears have heard, for what our spirits have received. We thank you. God, we thank you for the word that we're about to receive, and we ask, God, that you would speak. Oh, Father, that you would have your way. We thank you now for these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's thank God for our choir. I won't complain. One of our senior sisters used to say, Sister Penn, she say, don't want nobody listen anyway. Amen. So instead of complaining, you may as well just tell God thank you. How many of you are really thankful for what the Lord has done in your life? The chapter 4, and I will not be before you very long this morning. I just have to teach this that the Lord has laid upon my heart. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to speak to your hearts this morning from this subject, a call to godliness. A call to godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, you will find these words. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And then verse 13 says, till I come, give attention, attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. A call to godliness, a call to godliness. Verse 12 is our focus. And what you have here, thank you, ushers, a call to godliness. We have the Apostle Paul, who is here writing a letter to his young protege, Timothy. And he tells Timothy here in this passage to not allow people to judge him because he's young. And certainly we know that many times, even when I first became pastor of this church in 1992, I was 26 years old, fresh out of Southern University, and there were some at that time who said he's too young to pastor a church of this size. And certainly, amen, based upon my own strength and my own gifting, amen, certainly I could not do it. But amen, with God all things, I said, with God all things are possible. And so here we are 21 years later, only by the hand of God. And I give him praise for that, amen. So Paul is writing here to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, whatever folk choose to cast judgment or cast condemnation upon you with, make sure that it's not because you're young. Amen. And so he tells him, and he tells us, and this is very important, because if this is important for a young man, the implication to me is that those of us who are older ought to have a better mastery of what Paul is talking about in our text today. Amen. He says, don't let anyone judge you because of your youth. He says, but be thou an example. And I'm glad he says here an example and not the example. Because it is important for us to know and understand that the example by which we are to base our lives, the standard for which we are to base our living, is not man, but Jesus the Christ. Amen. And we know that the Bible says that God is holy. He's a holy God. Amen. And if he is holy, he wants us to at least try to live holy. But the thing that I'm seeing and the thing that we're facing many times in our churches, in our homes, in our communities, is church folk who have resolved that they can do what they want to do and they don't care what anybody says about it. They don't care what anybody thinks about it. They can live the way they want to live, do what they want to do. But I've come by this morning in the spirit of Paul to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that God is calling upon us to be an example of believers. We ought to look like our Father. One thing folk always say, amen, about any of Willie Garner's children, especially his sons, amen, they say, y'all look like your daddy. And guess what, church? We ought to look like our daddy. Do I have a witness today? Now, I told you I'm not going to be before you long because one thing I know, I'm not going to get a lot of amen. Some of you have already tuned me out. Amen. But if you won't hear me, tell your neighbor, nudge your neighbor, say, God has a way of getting your attention. The first thing I want to do is to tell you that we have standards for which we are to live by. And if you want to know what the standards are, turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Verses 36 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. We find here this lawyer asking Jesus a question. And in essence, he asked Jesus, Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? In verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And so there it is. The first commandment that we are to honor and obey is that we are to love God. But then secondly, he says in verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then Jesus says, not Pastor Garner, but Jesus says in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now what you will find in those two commandments that Jesus gives us, you will really find a synopsis of the Ten Commandments. Because when you, and turn there to the book of Exodus chapter 20, when you look at the Ten Commandments, you discover that four of the commandments have to do with our relationship with God. The other six commandments have to do with our relationships with each other. Amen. Exodus. When you find it, say amen. Exodus chapter 20. In verse 3, here's the first one. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's what God says. You don't have any other gods before me. And I need y'all to understand something, that when he says gods here, because, you know, we don't have Baal, you know, we don't have Ra or Ray, the sun god, but we have some other gods. I said we have some other gods. Amen. All right, we can make anything a god if we put it before the true and living God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to put anything or anybody above the true and living God, because only the true and living God has the power to wake me up in the morning. Only the true and living God has the power to heal my body when I get sick. Only the true and living God, amen, is able to make a way. Come on, do y'all know the true and living God? Do you know him? Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is the true and living God, and he says, you shall have no other gods before me. And then in verse 4, he says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Tell your neighbor, we serve a jealous God. If you've ever dealt with a jealous woman, or a jealous man, you know, amen, jealous folk can mess you up. And so as bad as people can be, I don't want to mess with a jealous God. I'm talking about the one who holds my heartbeat in the one who holds the my next breath in the palm of his hand. I don't want to make him mad, amen. And then verse 7, we see another one of the commandments that has to do with our relationship with God. Verse 7, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You need to be careful how you talk about God. Amen. Just because your coworkers throw God's name around loosely doesn't mean you ought to. You ought to take his name seriously. And then the final commandment that has to do with our relationship with God is in verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, just a few weeks ago, we dealt with that in our Sunday school lesson. And I told you that, you know, because some folk get it all twisted about what day you should go to church. Some go on Saturday, some go on Sunday. But nowhere here do I see where God says, remember the Sabbath day to go to church. He says, remember the Sabbath day, what? To keep it holy. You can be in church and not be keeping the day holy. Some of y'all are too young to remember a song back in the day that says, your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. Amen. You may be sitting up in here with the Bible in your hand. Amen. The choir singing good songs, but your mind is on something that's coming on at 12. We've got to remember this day to keep it holy. Amen. All right, now go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm almost finished. Don't walk out on me. Amen. I want to see the saints as much as the rest of them. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 again. Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Look at this. In word. All right. Now that's not just talking about the words you speak, but it also suggests that as a believer, you ought to be in the word. Somebody said our Bibles are never so happy as until they see us coming to church. Amen. Because the only time we ever have any fellowship with our Bibles is on Sunday when we pick them up and dust them off and bring them to church. He says we've got to be an example of the believer in word. That means you need to be in the word, but guess what else? The word needs to be in you. And if you've lived any amount of time on the face of this earth, you understand that you need a word in you. I'm talking about a word you can call up in the time of trouble. Because the devil is clever. He ain't gonna mess with you on Sunday morning, amen, with your Bible in tow, with you under the word of God. He's gonna wait till you out there by yourself, amen, clubbing it up, doing it up, amen, doing whatever it is you're big enough and bad enough to do, and then you're gonna need a word, and ain't no word gonna come to you. So you better get some word in your heart. You better get some word in your heart, amen, that when discouragement comes and when depression comes, you better be able to call up a word that says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You better, amen, you better get some word in you that reminds you that you got to wait on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He says, be an example of the believer in word. It's sad when folk come to us with questions about God and about how do you get saved, and some of us have no reply, no response, because we have no word in us. He says, be an example in word. But then he says, in conversation. Now, this word in the Greek, I believe it's hagamia, and I don't have my notes here before me, but the word doesn't mean just what you talk. It literally means what you walk. It means the conversation of your life. Is there anybody here who knows that actions speak louder than words? I told y'all a few weeks ago that there are sins of commission. That's stuff we do that we shouldn't do. There are sins of omission. That's when we don't do what we should have done. But there are also sins of disposition. That's when you do what God said do, but you do it with a bad attitude. Your conversation, your whole manner of speaking, your whole manner of life. He says, let your walk be an example of a believer. Then he says, in charity. Ooh, man, y'all gonna get real quiet here. Because the word charity here literally translates love. He says here that if you're gonna be an example of a believer, you've got to have love. Love for God, but also love for your haters. You got to have love for folk that have done you wrong. Remember what Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully you got to pray. My goodness, you got to learn how to pray even for your haters. You got to learn how to pray for the folk who don't like you, and you know they don't like you. Amen. You know they lying on you and talking about you, but if you're going to be an example of believer, you've got to love everybody. And can I tell y'all how I learned how to love folk who don't like me? I had to think about the love that Jesus had for me. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, while you were yet, amen, doing the stinky leg, while you were yet doing whatever the newest dance is, while you were yet drinking and smoking and dipping and dodging, while you were yet in your... Is there anybody here who knows God loved you? Amen. When you were unlovable, he loved you. When you really didn't even like yourself. Be an example in charity. And then he says in spirit. All right. Now, if you've got the Holy Spirit, there are some things that ought to show up in your spirit. How many of you have heard of the fruit of the Spirit? See, a lot of folk are looking for evidence that somebody has the Holy Ghost by whether or not they speak in tongues. And you hear them saying, yeah, you got to have the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues. But Jesus said, you'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Why folk are looking at gifts. No, you need to look at the fruit. Because I've found some tongue talkers that will also cuss in another language. I'm talking about tongue talking folk, amen, who will lie and do everything else. So you've got to have the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, peace, long suffering, meekness, gentleness, temperance. The writer said, against such there is no law. And then he says, be an example in faith, and I'm hurrying because this last one is the one I really want to get to. He says, be an example in purity. In purity. Can I use some modern day language here? Stop being nasty. Some stuff we think up, some stuff we do is just downright nasty. It is not becoming a child of God. It is not becoming the character of a believer. We represent the living God. We represent Christ. Go back to Exodus chapter 20. I'm wrapping it up, but I got to show you this. Exodus chapter 20. Let's look at those commandments again. Because he says, not only must you love God, you've got to love your fellow man. Verse 12. 20 and 12, if you have it, say amen. He says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Young people, hear me. If you want to live a long life, you can eat fruits and vegetables every day, and God can still check you out of here if you don't honor your mother and your father. Do I have a witness here today? He says, honor, and this is the only commandment with promise. He says, if you honor your father and your mother, he says, your days will be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You can have a six-pack and Instagram it all over the place, but if you don't honor your mother and your father, amen, God will cut your life short. All right, parents, y'all better help me. The next one says, thou shalt not kill. Now think about this. Think about this. If he tells us to love God, we'll honor God by not dishonoring his name, by not dishonoring his day, by not placing anything before him. But in the same token, if we love each other, there are some things we're not going to do. If you love your mother and if you love your father, you ain't going to cuss your mother. You will not cuss your father. And trust me, I've been young. I've been young, and I know moms and dads sometimes can say stuff and do stuff that makes you angry. But when you think about the sacrifices that they've made for you, sacrifices your friends are not going to make for you. Amen. Don't do something just because somebody else does it at their house. You've got to honor your mother and your father. If you love them, amen, you'll honor them. But not only that, if you love your neighbor, you won't kill your neighbor. And I'm not just talking about physically. Amen. Sometimes we kill each other with our mouths. Thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. If you love your neighbor, you ain't going to mess with his wife. You love your neighbor, you're not going to mess with her husband. Say amen, somebody. If you love God, you're going to be an example of the believer because you realize the sacrifice that he made for you on the cross. I had to preach this today because I feel that sometimes some of you get it mixed up when I say that we're saved by grace, and that's the truth. Amen. Our behavior doesn't save us. My good works don't save me. But because I am saved, there's some stuff I ain't gonna do. Because I am saved, and because I realize what it took to get a wretch like me saved. Do I need to remind you what it took to get you saved? It took Jesus being whipped all night long. It took Jesus letting them drive nails in his hands and nails in his feet and hanging him on a cross, and he died for our sins. The Bible says that when we get out there and sin willingly and willfully, we crucify him all over again. We crucify him afresh. If you love God, if you love your neighbor, there's some things you're not gonna do. And then he says,